you know, if you were doing a Tony Scott piece, he's Ridley Scott's brother. Like, Ridley Scott would find his way into it somehow. But we're doing one about Ridley Scott.
And thinking
that Tony Scott's going to get in here. And I like that. Makes us hipsters, I think.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. I feel the need for speed. I am Dave, joined by my speedy co-host, Mr. Ryan.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
We are Movies on Up. The tagline for this week, I feel the need for speed. If you know what movie that's from, fly us a mail to moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, we will eject a prize package right into your mailbox.
Full of top prizes. yes. Top shelf.
Yeah.
It's Top Gun.
It's Top Gun. Yep. Which is directed by Tony Scott, which transitions into Alien Covenant comes out this week.
Directed by Tony Scott's brother.
Brother Ridley Scott.
Also known as Tony Scott's brother.
We thought, hey, let's do a Ridley Scott episode. I think we've done an Alien episode. We might have. We might not have.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I don't know. But it's been 5 years. I don't know. We just start over.
Yeah. Everything's a race. We just start over. So we do our favorite Ridley Scott movies. We have talked about them. I don't remember when we talked about him, but I remember talking about how he's kind of hit or miss. Maybe on the Martian episode.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably the most recent time I talked about Ridley
Scott.
Which
wasn't that long ago.
No, I don't know.
That was last week, I think. When Life came out.
Yeah, so last week or a couple
Which is very apropos that, of course, we would do. We probably discussed our thought process behind it. Oh, Life looks an awful lot like Alien. Let's not do an Alien episode. Let's do the Martian.
I think that's probably it.
That's how it went.
It's a space movie, yeah.
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 The life came from Mars.
So,
yeah.
Here's something I learned making this list.
Ooh.
I don't like Ridley Scott as much as I thought I did. I really don't.
He's very hit or miss.
The movies I like, I love. My top three. I love these movies.
And 4 and 5 are movies.
Are movies.
Yep. Ridley Scott movies.
I love 3.5 of these movies. I really like one of these movies.
I know what your number four is.
I really like one of these movies, and I hate a half of this movie. It's my number five.
When you said 3.5, I just assumed that it was your top three.
I put the one I like above the one that I hate the other half.
That makes some sense.
You like Ridley Scott.
I didn't have a problem. At least my number one I love. Absolutely love. All time great. And it's probably the one that you think of.
It's probably my number three, so I'll probably hold it off and just do number one when you do it.
Fair enough. And my number two I like an awful lot. I like them all. I think they're all cool movies. If nothing else, they're all shot wonderfully. Because whether or not like the subject matter ends up being good, Ridley Scott makes one damn visually appealing movie. Even if it sucks, it's cool to watch.
Yeah, and he gets a good cast.
That too.
That's something we talked about with The Martian. He knows how to put together a cast. But enough about our thoughts on Ridley Scott.
Let's go with more of our thoughts on Ridley Scott.
I don't do the segues like Mr. Ryan does. But speaking of Ryan, your number five favorite Ridley Scott movie.
My number five favorite Ridley Scott movie. Speaking of casts, and it's not quite as strong as the cast from something like The Martian, but we do have Liam Neeson. We do have Jeremy Irons. We do have Orlando Bloom and Ava Green in 2005's Kingdom of Heaven. More recently, Scott did another movie about a crusader that doesn't make my list. I'm not sure if it makes yours.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. The Robin Hood movie was not great, but he has, obviously, an interest in 12th century swordplay. This one is loosely based on an actual nobleman who I believe was born into wealth, not a bastard blacksmith, as Orlando Bloom's character is presented in this movie. I will give Bloom credit. He's pretty decent with a sword. I mean, between the Lord of the Rings stuff and here.
Pirates,
yeah. He's competent as a swashbuckling hero. Where the movie really shines, I had already kind of hit on it, is the cinematography. The shots that he has of 12th century Jerusalem are absolutely breathtaking. And the battle sequences that they put together, wonderfully shot, wonderfully directed, wonderfully cut together. You know, the movie is a bit of a slow burn. I wouldn't try and watch this movie to cram for a test you might have on the Crusades, because you'll probably fail. But it is a great movie to just kind of have on in the background and check in here or there, because it looks wonderfully. It's wonderfully constructed, even if you don't necessarily care about the actual plot.
I haven't seen this one. It's not that I don't like Ridley Scott.
It's a war movie.
I haven't seen a lot of his movies. I've never seen Gladiator. Like, I haven't seen...
I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
A handful of Ridley Scott movies. My number five, though, we talk about cast. Noomi Rapace, Michael Fassbender, Charlize Theron, Idris Elba, Guy Pearce, fake Tom Hardy, Rafe Spall, Benedict Wong. This cast is stacked. And we had such high hopes for Prometheus, the Alien prequel, kick off the Prometheus trilogy that would lead to Alien. People didn't like it, so it leads to the Alien prequel.
The Alien Covenant, which kicks off the Alien Covenant back-to-back double feature, yeah. Which leads into Alien.
I don't know what it is about the start of this movie. Maybe it was because of the expectations. Maybe it's because I was so amped up for it. But it doesn't feel like anything. It's
very strange.
It's strange. You have the scientist who's the life mission is there, and then he's ready to give up within like 5 minutes. The characters don't make sense at the beginning. The mission doesn't. Nothing makes sense. But then with about 40, 45 minutes left.
When it becomes an Alien movie.
When it becomes a good movie, it gets really, really good. Charlize Theron shines. Michael Fassbender shines. Noomi Rapace kicks ass. Idris Elba is Idris Elba. It's really, really good. And I kind of want to do a Prometheus episode at some point. Maybe when Alien Covenant comes out. Oh, that's this week.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been a good... Because I watched it the once.
Mm-hmm.
I disliked the first part so much that I haven't rewatched it. It is a movie I do kind of want to go back and watch, because the ending...
I have just watched it this week in preparation for Covenant.
Did you, or are you just talking in the future?
I'm talking in the future.
Oh, okay.
I haven't yet, but by the time this airs, I will have, and that will be a true statement.
I kind of want to rewatch it, but I don't know if I would hate the beginning as much as I do now. I'm sure I would love the ending even more, because I'd probably be more attached to it. It just, there's a lot going on, and... Fassbender comes back for Covenant, but I think he's different than David. I don't think he's the same.
No, he's both. Yeah. He's David and another android.
Yeah, but Noomi Rapace isn't back, which is... I just like her. I think Noomi Rapace is awesome. Yeah, but I mean, I liked half of this movie.
I like all of my number four, but it's a movie that I never think of on its own. It gets brought up when we talk about other movies. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. I like Legend from 1985, starring Tom Cruise, Mia Sara, and the wonderful Tim Curry. When we talk about Willow or Labyrinth, I think those are the main culprits. I always think about Legend. Obviously, it's not as good as the other two, and I'm not trying to say that it is. But I do think it's a really, really competent high fantasy movie. Tom Cruise is playing this wood fairy or something, trying to rescue a damsel in distress from this demon king that's set out to kill the last of the unicorns. I mean, it's basically like a Lisa Frank binder come to life. And I'm not giant into fairy tales, so to speak, but I do love, again, the visuals of this movie. Much in the same way that I think David Bowie absolutely and his bulge steal Labyrinth, and that is the indelible image I have from that movie, is his perm and his penis.
Tim Curry.
Yes, his demon character is not only a wonderful character, but the design of that character.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying and absolutely amazing. I almost feel like basically every depiction of the devil is based off of Tim Curry in Legend. And I know realistically, 1985 was not like the beginning of recorded history, but they just basically said, okay, rather than reinventing the wheel, you know, we're basically having a character that is the devil. And they just kind of played up like everything every iconic image you have of something we're all at least tangentially familiar with. The production design of this movie in general, the rest of the fairies, Tom Cruise's ears. I had to look what the plot of this movie was. I didn't know what the fuck Tom Cruise was doing. I don't know what Tim Curry's doing, but I have very vivid memories of how they look in this movie. Because, you know, like I said, if you don't love Ridley Scott movies, like Prometheus, it may not be like, especially the first half of the movie, it's boring, it's slow, it's confusing, but it's beautiful. That you can always say about his stuff is it is always going to look stunning. And this might be the best example of that. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't necessarily even care what the hell's going on. But I do love me some Tim Curry in this.
This was originally my number two. Oh. It's one of the ones that I love this movie.
Huh.
I like this movie more than Labyrinth. Willow, if you were asking me last week if there were any movies that were almost on the list that didn't make it, I would probably regret not mentioning Willow. But Legend, I love this movie. My Aunt Laura growing up, this was her Enter the Dragon.
This was one of the three that she would rent?
Yes, like this was her, she loved this movie. So we watched this a lot. And I never complained. You know, she's a big Tom Cruise fan, but Tim Curry, the visuals, Mia Sara. I think 80s Mia Sara is the most beautiful creature ever put on this planet. Like, between this and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like, she's just gorgeous. Like, she is absolutely phenomenal. And she's really good, not to demean it just to that, but, like, she's really good in this. And so is Tom Cruise. Like, it's a well put together movie. Everything about this movie I think is great, and mostly the visual and like Tim Curry, that's what sticks out the most, is how visually appealing Tim Curry is and how beautiful the rest of the movie looks.
And the way they shoot him, like the first half of the movie, you don't really get the full-on like majesty, and then when they finally show him, it's like, oh
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so this was my number two, but we'll say it's my number four.
My number three is a movie that you haven't seen. If you saw it, maybe you'd like it. Maybe it would make your list. It did mine. It is Gladiator from 2000, starring Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix, and Connie Nielsen. I guess it's really more accurate to say that, not necessarily that Scott has a soft spot for Crusaders, but he's got this fetish for historic-ish films. Gladiator, I think, is the best of these. And really sort of the main culprit, the granddaddy behind the revival of these historic action films like Kingdom of Heaven, which was 5 years later, Troy, Alexander, even 300, and his later Kingdom of Heaven and Robin Hood, just to name a few. It was also right in the middle of a really, really good run for Russell Crowe. He was nominated for Best Actor 3 straight years. This is the one he won for. It's probably the weakest performance he had between Beautiful Mind and The Insider.
The Insider should have won.
The Insider should have won.
I think this is for The Insider.
But if you look at both of those other years, like, the field was just stacked. 2000 was not a great year for the Oscars in general. This movie actually won 4 more Oscars, including Best Picture. Like I said, it's kind of down here. I suppose a lot is subjective about how good or not great this movie was. But as was the case in Kingdom of Heaven, I think it's very clear that Scott has the ability to make an epic movie. There were giant set pieces in this movie, the Colosseum. And the fight scenes in this are really, really good. I think as far as like underrated bro movies go, I think Gladiator should probably be up there. Pretty much every line Maximus has after
are
he's
not entertained,
to paraphrase, that's a good one.
Tonight we dine on hell.
Yeah, that's a different movie. Fight scenes that we saw in Kingdom of Heaven were much more epic because they're on a larger scale. There is a giant battle at the beginning of Gladiator, but these other ones are more intimate, I guess. Specifically, sort of the last fight that, spoiler alert, he makes it through.
But he dies.
But he dies, exactly.
I didn't know that.
That's when they dine in hell, so I guess. I mean, they're shot so wonderfully. It's almost kind of like a dance between the characters. And it's another one that, like, don't try and study ancient Rome by watching Gladiator, because you're going to flunk again. But if you have like any kind of interest in ancient civilizations, you could watch this because you're going to get a smattering of a lot of them and a lot of different time periods. But I do love me some Gladiator. Joaquin's great in this. He's better than Russell Crowe is. But, you know, that was, I guess, before everybody was like, all right, Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor.
My number three now was my number four. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because we just did an episode on it. It is The Martian. This is another one of those that we touched on. The cast. Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Michael Peña, Sean Bean, Kate Mara, Sebastian Stan, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Benedict Wong, Mackenzie Davis, Donald Glover.
Like, Dong Lover.
He took a book that would be very hard to put on screen, and he made it work. He took a movie that relies on Matt Damon, and he made it work. That sounds like a knock on Matt Damon.
Right.
Matt Damon could carry a movie. He's proven that. But, I mean, you took the premise as, oh, he's left by himself on Mars, and he made
Cast
it work.
Castaway on Mars.
Yeah, he made it work. It's a really, really good movie. I think this should have gotten more Oscar love. I feel like this is more worthy of Best Picture than Gladiator. It was nominated, but didn't get it. The performances are great. Looks great. The shots from Mars and what the people on Earth can see, like, he makes it grainy. It's a very cool movie, and it fits all the Ridley Scott, like, check marks. It's
right.
Just, I don't know how to say, he does action so well. He does this epic, like, action, and this isn't that. It's kind of a departure from what he does, because it's more your drama or comedy almost. So it's a nice departure from what he normally does, and it's not your...
It's not a war
movie. Not
a
trademark Ridley Scott movie. It's not the kind of movie you think of when you think Ridley Scott movies. But
there's no swords.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, and I love it.
But it does have a pirate, at the very least.
And potatoes.
Yes. It is my number two. Because just going through the list, like, yeah, I didn't necessarily want to talk about The Martian again, because we just did an entire episode on it.
I had to.
But yeah, it is my second favorite Ridley Scott movie. I can't really help it. It's because I think Matt Damon is fantastic and the supporting cast is amazing. And the way that Scott uses every bit of that cast. I mean, they've listed names and he went probably 10 names deep on the call sheet. And every one of those characters, had they not contributed in the way they did, it's possible that Watney doesn't make it home. For the first half of my list, I couldn't really blame you for thinking that Scott is synonymous with historically flexible sword and sandal movies, but I think his best movies are sci-fi. I don't think he does them necessarily the most, but for me at least, the best ones are in the sci-fi genre, and that should kind of point to where my number one's going to be.
Yeah, I bumped my number three up to number one, so this is my number two. But it's really my number one. This is my favorite Ridley Scott movie, even over your number. I love your number one. It's close.
I know. I get it. It's fine.
This I do love Alien, and yeah. I think I take it for granted how good it is. But my number two is a movie that I don't think a lot of people realize
is a Ridley Scott
is movie. A Ridley Scott movie. If you go down the Ridley Scott checklist, it's not your tent deep cast. It's a cast of, you know, three, but they're not big time actors. Like Nicolas Cage, this is in a weird spot in his career. This is after Oscar winner Nicolas Cage, and it's in that weird era. And then Sam Rockwell and Alison Lohman, both pretty unknown at the time that 2003's Matchstick Men came out. I love this movie. This movie is probably one of my, easily one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Nicolas Cage performances. He plays the phobic con man who just, he has his quirks. And Nick Cage plays it perfectly. Alison Lohman shows up as his daughter that he didn't know he had. You know, him and Sam Rockwell work job after job, and he tries not to get her involved, but she's really good at it. And a genre that I don't talk about a lot because there aren't a ton of good movies is, you know, I love a crime movie. If you can throw a con man in there or a good con movie, I love it, and they're few and far between. There aren't a ton of great con man movies. This is one of the best ones. It's not your big set pieces. It's not your action. It's not your deep cast that goes 10 big names in. It's a really small movie starring Nicolas Cage in a weird spot in his career. He hadn't quite been the punchline yet. And then you have Alison Lohman and Sam Rockwell kind of breaking onto the scene. And the coloring is weird. This doesn't have the look of a Ridley Scott movie. Like, it's got its own... If you asked me if Ridley Scott or Tony Scott directed this movie, I would think this is more of a Tony Scott movie shying away from action. It has that kind of look. It has the look of a Tony Scott movie and the feeling of a Tony Scott movie, because a lot of his movies, especially later, where Man on Fire and Deja Vu, like, they were more grounded, like, oh, it's a Denzel movie. That's what Matchstick Men feels like for me. Like, I would believe more that it was directed by Tony Scott than Ridley Scott, because it's the total opposite of a Ridley Scott movie. But other than our number one, it's easily my favorite, because I love this movie. I love this movie so, so much.
This is one I knew was going to be on your list, and I left it off. The one that I was thinking of, I also thought was going to be on your list, so I left it off. Otherwise, it easily would have made my list, but we'll talk about it when we get to Also-Rans.
I don't even know what it is.
I'll talk about it. After I talk about, for me, every conversation with Ridley Scott, I feel like there's two camps.
Oh, I got you. I don't like that movie.
You don't?
Yeah, it's boring.
All right. I feel like there's two camps with Ridley Scott, especially when it comes to sci-fi. You're either a Blade Runner guy or you're an Alien guy. And for me, it's not even close. I am all night and all day an Alien guy. In 1979's Alien, I think, is... We talk about perfect movies fairly often. Alien, to me, is a perfect movie. There is absolutely nothing bad or even subpar that I could honestly think to say about it, even if I were nitpicking. Now, you can make the argument that this is one of the best science fiction movies of all time, even better than Blade Runner, but I also think that it's one of the best horror movies ever. The pacing is wonderful. It's probably a little bit more of a slow burn than you remember, but it builds and builds until that alien finally gets loose. It's terrifying right from the moment the Nostromo sets foot or sets its landing gears down on LV-426. Right from that point, the movie is just dripping with dread. I mean, it's not necessarily a new genre. I mean, it's Jaws in space, but it's even much more than that. Yeah, a shark is scary, but that design that H.R. Giger came up with is absolutely terrifying. And it was just more than just the design of the creature. He designed the look of the entire movie. And the world that he and Ridley Scott brought to life, the LV-426, just as scary as the alien. I mean, you think of that really thick pea soup fog, the eggs themselves, right up to the derelict spacecraft that played so much into Prometheus. It's a wonderfully atmospheric horror movie, a little bit like the Hammer movies that I love so much from the 50s and 60s, but just with a lot more blood.
It's hard not to equate this and The Thing, which we both hold on such a high regard, because they're bottle movies pretty much.
Yes.
They're very contained, but it makes the most of that scenario. It's a perfect sci-fi movie, a perfect horror movie, a perfect action movie to an extent. Like, Ripley is one of the greatest movie characters ever in the cast. The supporting cast is fantastic.
Tom Skerritt, Yaphet Kotto, Ian Holm.
Yeah, everything about this. Just even the method to where the chest-bursting scene. He didn't tell people what was happening, so that those reactions are real. Like, I love stories like that. And
Veronica Cartwright was scared shitless, legit, because she didn't realize there was going to be that much blood.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's such a good movie. And I didn't put it number one because that's just typically what we do. But when I think about it, like, yeah, I love Matchstick Men, but it's not Alien. It's not. I think Alien is one of those that I just consider so good that I sometimes take for granted how good it is. And it's hard because Aliens is almost as good. It's tough.
They're different movies.
They're different movies, but like they're easy to lump together, obviously. But
they're both wonderful.
They're like, both amazing.
Aliens, to me, is a sci-fi action movie.
It's way more action, yeah.
This one is sci-fi horror, and I'm splitting hairs, but they're both, they could be my favorite examples of each subgenre.
Yeah. What about also Rans? Like, I don't, Thelma and Louise is like the only other one. I like that movie.
Thelma and Louise was good.
But
I think Blade Runner's fine.
I think boring.
But I don't really dig it. Black Hawk Down is the one I'm surprised neither of us put on the list. I thought you really liked it.
I've never seen it.
That would explain why it didn't make your list.
Hartnett, isn't
but,
it?
Josh Hartnett, Ewan McGregor, real ass Tom Hardy, Piven.
Tom Hardy's in that?
Yeah. This is very early Tom Hardy, but there's a ton of people in that movie.
Ron Eldard?
Yeah, Eldard. Old Reed Richards is in it.
Ian Gruffudd.
Yeah.
Hugh Dancy? I like Hugh Dancy. Kim Coates? Yeah, I've just never watched it. I don't know why.
Fair enough. I thought,
I don't like war movies, really.
I know. But I thought at some point we had a conversation about Black Hawk Down. I could be, obviously I'm wrong, but I thought that was going to be one that was on your list. So I was like, well, I could see where we would have some crossover on this. So let me just leave this off. But hell, that could have been my number three, to be very honest with
like,
you.
Like, here's the thing is like, it's not that I don't like.
Because it is really good, too.
It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I didn't see Exodus. The Counselor was disappointing. Didn't see Robin Hood.
Exodus sucked. I watched it on a plane and I still thought it sucked.
Body of Lies was okay. American Gangster wasn't as good as I wanted it to be.
Right.
Haven't seen Kingdom of Heaven. Hannibal. I haven't seen G.I. Jane. I haven't seen Gladiator. I mean, so I guess a lot
Hannibal's
of
Hannibal's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
A lot of his, like, hits I haven't seen, so.
So you got some catching up to do on Ridley Scott.
Yeah. I'll put him right behind The Godfather as far as what I need to watch. But yeah, so that was our Ridley Scott's episode. I mean, I we're excited for Covenant.
Like, yes.
I don't know that this episode conveyed that enough. We're stoked on Covenant.
Covenant to me is the movie, or it appears to be the movie I thought Prometheus was.
Exactly.
Gonna be.
And I think that's what I know he had plans for a Prometheus 2.
Yes.
But with the reaction to Prometheus, he just wanted to do an Alien 0.5.
But I think he's done a great job of, like,
selling it.
Of kind of saying, well, no, this is what I wanted to do all along. Look, here's how I'm wrapping up the story I started in Prometheus. I think he realizes that he needs to give the people what they want, which takes a certain amount of being able to swallow your ego. And as a guy that's got the credits Ridley Scott has,
He'd
be well within his rights to say F you people. I mean, I created it. Well, I mean, he didn't create it, but you know, I directed the first Alien. So if there's anybody that can do what they want in that world, it's me. But I think he's going to acquiesce.
Yeah. But so see Alien Covenant. I think we're both going to.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, Baywatch swims into theaters. So we are going to do an episode on the movie that Baywatch wants to be. It's going to be our 21 Jump Street episode, which movie I love. So I'm excited for that. So until next week.
Keep it up.